Morning, everyone. Thank you, worship team. How are you all doing? All good. We're Bob and Jennifer had already thanked everybody in the announcements, but I wanted to add another thank you as well to everybody who's part of the blessing bags for the teachers of Connolly Middle School. As all of you know, there's a lot of things to potentially be discouraged about in this current season, including another mass shooting this past week. And so just what a blessing it is in the midst of all that discouragement to be able to be an encouragement for others in Jesus' name. And we've actually already received from the teachers of Connolly 6 thank you notes and appreciation for the encouragement. And so I wanted to share one of those with you now as we begin this morning. And here's what one teacher said. I want you and your congregation to know that your kindness and support of us at Connolly has come at a time when it was most needed. This year has been very challenging, and knowing that you care and believe in what we do has buoyed up a lot of spirits on campus. Thank you for listening to God and sharing His love with us. Personally, the thank you card Joshua wrote came to me at a time when I was feeling overwhelmed. It brought back light and renewed strength to me. So what a blessing it is to encourage others in Jesus' name. We've all got those opportunities this week, every week, as individuals, as well as a church family, through things like reaching out to the teachers at Connolly. And God has even opened up opportunities for us to bless others in different parts around the world. And so as we're celebrating God's work here this morning, I'd like to invite Rochelle Meyer up front. She's going to share about a ministry in South Africa that we now have the privilege of supporting. And so would you join me in welcoming Rochelle to the stage? So thank you, Rochelle.
Good morning. Good morning. It's indeed a privilege for me to be here. I wanted to share a bit about the Kingdom Initiative investments. The church has funds from the sale of land, and that is used to invest back into the kingdom of God. So it's been used for our missionaries, and it's been used for other ministries that we are aware of in other parts of the country that have been presented to small groups within the church. So I want to share about one of the investments that we have made as a congregation. We've partnered with a ministry in South Africa called Inside Out International. And they are a ministry that is located in the port city of George in South Africa. And this ministry focuses on poor communities and especially on the refugees that are in George from other parts of Africa. And the refugees come, which I know that in the States we have groups of refugees in different cities as well. But they come having lost everything. And many of the refugees that Inside Out have worked with, they have not had the same opportunities of education as we have or as the ministry offers there. So they focus and they use English as a bridge to reach out to these people that have been isolated through poverty, through language, through culture. So these are people that are outside of society, and they use English to bridge them. And the thing is, now they have opportunity through the literacy classes for these people to gain skills that we take for granted, basically reading and writing. And now they're able to communicate. They're able to learn more about the gospel. Biblical truths bring transformation. And they really believe that this is twofold. So it's inviting those people inside the kingdom of God, introducing them to Jesus, and then also giving them the basic skills so that they can communicate, so that they can not have that bridge any longer and be separated. So, I mean, they've seen amazing results. Students that couldn't even read and write in their own language now are able to communicate in English and build friendships. One of the moms, she would get text messages and that, but it wouldn't be in her language, it would be in English. And she had to wait for the children or people to come home so that she could even find out what people were trying to say to her. And now she's able to read those messages. That's so simple for us, but these people have new opportunities have been given to them because of this ministry that's reaching out to the poor and the needy in George. So aren't you glad to be a part of all that's happening in this through this ministry in South Africa? We partners with them now. Amen.
Rochelle, for sharing. All right. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. You know, it really is neat that God's giving us the opportunity with our local neighbors, with our English as a second language ministry, to serve and to share Jesus, and then to be part of a similar ministry on the other side of the world, as well as blessing the teachers at Connolly. And so we're just thankful to God for these opportunities to represent him and bring encouragement. And so why don't we thank him now in prayer as we begin to come to our to his word this morning. God, we do thank you just for what a privilege it is to know you and to serve you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to build us up and encourage us through what happens in the service this morning as we look to your word, as classes meet for kids and youth group and adult classes, the next service and our Spanish language service, that in all the things that happen here in this building this morning, God, that you would be glorified and that you would build us up in ways that help equip us and make us ready to be a blessing in your name to the people in our spheres of influence this week. We continue to pray for the teachers and administrators of Connolly and the students there, that you would work there in great ways, even in a challenging year, that bring glory to yourself. We pray for Inside Out, as well as our own English as a second language ministry, God, that you would use these things and our other outreaches and ministries to be a real blessing and build people up in their faith, again, so that they can be a blessing to others. We want to bless others too, Lord, through how you've blessed us. And so we pray now as we come to your word that you would help me to share it and for everyone to receive it in ways that are helpful to that end, to your glory, Lord. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so one morning, as Steph and the kids are getting ready for school, as the process completes, I'm walking them out the back door, and as they're going out in the garage, I say, "I love you," to the kids. "God bless you at school today." And then the kids, you know, and Stephanie are in the garage, and the morning so far, it's just progressed very well. Looks like they're going to be on time to school. The kids even got a pastoral benediction before they left. But then someone decides last minute that they need to go to the bathroom, and it's discovered that multiple things were left inside the house that we need for school, that need to be retrieved. And so now we're all rushing around, but finally we get the kids and all the things in the car, and I wave goodbye and exhale as the kids and Stephanie drive back out of the garage. Then I close the garage door, and as I turn to go back inside, I discover that the door is locked. And all the rushing, someone had absentmindedly turned the doorknob lock, not thinking about how I was going to go back inside. And so in the midst of this, I don't have my keys on me or my phone because I'm just in my t-shirt and boxers. And so I'm thinking quickly, and I'm like, you know, I don't think anybody on our street needs to see their pastor neighbor running after his wife's car on the way down the street, yelling to wait. And so it looks like I'm going to be stuck outside my house in the garage for a bit. And to make matters worse, it's a chilly morning, so it's not really t-shirt and boxers kind of weather. And our kids' school is not right down the street, and so it looks like I'm going to be stuck outside in the garage for a while. And it stinks to be stuck outside. We've all experienced that feeling. Maybe you've been locked out of your house or your car. Or maybe worse, you've been stuck outside relationally speaking in a situation or with a group. You know, maybe you've been treated like an outsider at school or work or home, even in society. Maybe you've received messages like, "We don't really care for your background and culture. It makes us a bit uncomfortable." Or maybe you've received something like, "You know, we don't really like your personality. You're too quiet. You don't come out of your shell enough. You're not interesting enough. Or instead, maybe you're hearing, you know, you're too loud, too talkative, too forceful. You need to tone down who you are. You're too much. You know, or perhaps some have received the message, can't you behave more like a neurotypical person? Then we'll accept you when you do that. And so in all these things, sometimes we feel like an outsider because someone has kept us at a distance, treated us in that kind of way, though we've done nothing wrong in the situation or relationship. At other times, we may have made a tragic choice or have a pattern of dysfunction that creates distance between us and others, and our own behavior is what has put us outside relationally. And some of us may even feel on the outside with God, either because of what we've done or maybe even are still doing. And so this morning, in all this, we're going to look at Matthew's story, because Matthew was an outsider in society and with God. And we're going to see what his story has to teach us about when we feel outside. And so if you've got a Bible or a Bible app, I invite you to open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. That's Matthew 9. And if you don't have a Bible with you, no worries. We'll have the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. And as you're opening, Matthew, he lived about 2,000 years ago. And along with the whole Jewish nation at the time, they endured hard times as the Romans occupied them. And back then, some of the Jewish people, like Matthew, responded to that hardship from the Romans by choosing to betray their people, by becoming tax collectors for the Romans. And being a tax collector back then is not the same as working for the IRS today. Being a tax collector back then would be more like if a foreign nation took over America today, and then your neighbor volunteered to work for that occupying power's tax system. And then your neighbor would take taxes from you and all of your other neighbors, and then they would send all that money back to the occupying power, so they'd be strengthening the enemy while weakening you and the rest of America. And to make matters even worse here, your neighbor actually bid money for the privilege of being a tax collector. Why would he do that? It's so that he could charge even more taxes and keep all the extra for himself. And so people like Matthew are growing rich at the expense of you and your community. And if you rebel, then that tax collector like Matthew will just report you and the foreign army is going to come in and crush you. And so that's basically what Jewish tax collectors like Matthew were doing back in his day. And so his fellow Jews despised the tax collectors like Matthew as traitors. They treated them as like outcasts. Tax collectors were so despised in their culture that some of the Jewish religious leaders taught that even if you were a destitute beggar, you should not receive money from a tax collector at his office, since that was dirty money. And many of the religious leaders also taught that if a tax collector came in your house, your whole house just immediately became unclean just because of that tax collector's presence. And also taught that you could lie to a tax collector with no sense of guilt whatsoever, because lying to a tax collector is like lying to somebody who's in the middle of robbing you. And so to his people, Matthew is that kind of despised outsider. So are you tracking with that so far? All right, great. So now we've got kind of that background that we needed. Let's pick up Matthew, the outcast story, in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. It says, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth." In the four Gospels, Matthew is sometimes called Matthew, like he is here in verse 9. Other times he's called Levi, but it's the same person. And back then, people named Levi typically came from the Levites, which was the priestly tribe of the Jews. And so as Levi, or Matthew here, sits at his tax booth in verse 9, I wonder if he ever thinks about how life would be different if he had chosen to serve as a priest, instead of serving as a tax collector becoming that. And I wonder if Levi slash Matthew regrets choosing financial security over his reputation and his relationships. I wonder if Matthew feels a sense of shame about how he's using others every time a fellow Jew shoots him a look of disgust for his treacherous greed. Whatever Matthew is thinking and feeling this day, as Jesus walks by, something unbelievable happens to outcast Matthew in the middle of verse 9. There, Jesus says to Matthew, "Follow me," he told him. The Jewish religious leaders in Jesus' day never approached a potential disciple and invited them to follow. It was always the other way around. So the students would select a teacher and ask the teacher for the privilege of being discipled by them. So it would be very surprising in that culture to see Jesus invite anyone to be his disciple, but it would be utterly shocking to see Jesus invite an outcast like Matthew, a traitor, to be his disciple, to invite Matthew inside. I love Caravaggio's dramatic painting of this scene. There, you'll see it on the screen, and we can zoom in on the people here in the painting now as we talk about each one of them. On the left side of the painting, Matthew is seated with some associates, fellow tax collectors, counting their income. Matthew is in the middle of the seated group. He's the one with the light brown beard. Do you see Matthew? Okay. And then Matthew and his associates, they're dressed in the modern clothes of Caravaggio's time, likely reflecting their concern with worldly things. And if Caravaggio painted this today, perhaps Matthew would be in an Armani suit with slicked back hair sort of look. And then there's Jesus on the right side of the painting, accompanied by Peter. And he suddenly bursts in the room and powerfully gestures to Matthew, extending his arm and index finger as he calls Matthew to follow him. And the two tax collectors seated on the far left of the painting are so focused on counting their ill-gotten money that they don't even notice Jesus in the room. And like these tax collectors, if you're focusing only on the things of this world, then you're living at too low of a level. And in contrast, the other two tax collectors on the right of Matthew do notice Jesus and Peter. The younger of the two, who's the one facing us, draws back into Matthew and away from Jesus. And the older one, whose back is to us and who is armed, leans forward, perhaps threateningly, as a standing Peter next to Jesus gestures to calm his resistance. And surprised, there in the middle of the tax collectors is Matthew. As Jesus calls, Matthew still has his right hand on the coin he was counting before Jesus burst in. And Matthew's left hand, he appears to gesture to himself, perhaps to say, "Who, me?" Or maybe he's gesturing to the guy next to him. It's hard to tell. Maybe in that case, he'd be like, "You can't mean me, Jesus. Do you mean this guy next to me?" You know, he's gesturing like, "You've got to be mistaken, Jesus. You must be looking for some other Levi, one who became a Levite serving God at the temple, not this Levi who betrayed his nation over a love of money." But Jesus is not mistaken. He is inviting this Levi, this Matthew, who is on the outside with God and his countrymen because of his sin. Let's look now back to the scriptures in verse 9 to see Matthew's response to Jesus. It says, "And Matthew got up and followed him." As Matthew takes Jesus' astounding invitation, the traitor outcast becomes part of Jesus' inner circle, invited inside. So talk about encountering the life-changing Jesus. And this is not just a story for back then. If you know Jesus, Matthew's story is your story. You were once outside, an outsider being welcomed inside by our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus, His Son, welcoming you into the family. And if you don't yet identify as a Christian, then you're like Matthew in the painting. You know, Jesus is extending His hand to you today, inviting you to join His kingdom, welcoming you inside. The call of Jesus is on your life. So do you hear it? I would love to talk with you more about that afterwards. And as we talk about Matthew here, having received Jesus' call to come inside His kingdom, Matthew is now inspired to introduce others to Jesus. We see this in verse 10. It says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Him and His disciples." So in response to his newfound life in Jesus, Matthew throws a big dinner party here where he invites some friends to know Jesus too. And perhaps Matthew invited them with, "God has come into the world and He's going to be at my house tonight, so come meet Him." And these outsiders, fellow outsiders like Matthew, they come. Their curiosity is piqued by this Jesus who welcomes one of their own into His inner circle, and who warmly welcomes them. Like Matthew, in response to Jesus' overwhelming grace in your life, you could throw an awesome dinner party or invite some friends to stream our online Easter service, you know, whatever you're comfortable with in the season, as a way to introduce some friends to Jesus. And like Matthew, we can do this. We can invite others, introduce them to Jesus. And praise God that He's also letting us be parts of helping refugees in South Africa, outsiders in their culture, to learn English and be welcomed inside and be introduced to Jesus. In Matthew's case here, not everybody's happy with his dinner party. And the poopers of this party are some religious leaders called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believe the Jews are under Roman occupation because the people aren't following God's laws well enough. And so, in light of this, the Pharisees make up additional rules that they put around God's law, and they shun the people who don't follow their added rules. The ones in their mind who are the so-called sinners, they keep them outside. And then here comes Jesus, inviting a tax collector into His inner circle of disciples and sharing table fellowship with all these tax collectors and sinners. And it's all just too much for the Pharisees. And we see that in verse 11. "When the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" The Pharisees question why Jesus eats with outcasts, because eating back then together, it symbolized intimacy and full acceptance with one another. And so Jesus sharing table fellowship with Matthew's kind of people clashes with the Pharisees' prideful separation from those who don't measure up to all of their added rules. And so I wonder if the Pharisees look right at Matthew as they question Jesus here in verse 11. I wonder if they're staring at Matthew when they say, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And I wonder if Matthew feels some anxiety in that and wonders if Jesus will realize it was a mistake to call someone like him and put him back outside. Perhaps, like Matthew, you can wonder, can Jesus really welcome me inside with what I've done or with what I continue to struggle with? And I wonder, for Matthew, if even the other disciples, all of whom were Jewish, kind of also wanted Matthew back on the outside. Didn't like that Jesus invited him in the inner circle, since he was a tax-collecting traitor to their nation. Well, in all this, let's see how Jesus responds to the Pharisees' questioning of him in verse 12. "On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And as religious leaders claiming to represent God, the Pharisees should have tried to help people struggling, rather than effectively disinviting them from God's kingdom by keeping them at a distance, keeping them outside. And ironically here, the Pharisees are actually also on the outside with God, spiritually sick too, but too blinded to see it because of their pride. And so they are unable to see and receive Jesus' help. And so here in verses 12 and 13, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, and he affirms Matthew inviting others who are outside, inviting them inside. And Jesus is still in the business of inviting modern-day Matthews, and so let's keep sharing with them and loving on them and praying for them. And in response here in verse 12, Jesus begins with a proverb from that day about how doctors spend their time among the sick rather than the healthy. And as a doctor spends time among the sick, so Jesus helps any humble enough to come and admit that they're far from God and struggling with sin and need Jesus' help. And Jesus is that great physician who made a home visit to us here as we struggled in this sinful, broken world. And Jesus gave us the hard but true diagnosis that we are mortally stained by the disease of sin, deserving of death and judgment. Now, I know sinners here in verse 13 is not a politically correct term in our culture today, but it describes Matthew's reality and ours apart from Jesus. You know, when Jesus talks about being the only way to God, he is not saying, oh, there are lots of ways to God, but I just want you to choose my way. No, Jesus is saying, look, you're on the outside, and no one else is coming for you to help you with your sin and death problems, but me. And instead of keeping sick sinners like us outside, Jesus, the great physician, welcomes all kinds of strugglers, like Matthew, like me, like you, anyone who wants God's help, to come inside God's kingdom and receive welcome. You know, Jesus, he died on the cross for us and rose from the dead to give us the cure that we need for our sin sickness. And the great physician, he did not send us a bill for this treatment. No, he paid the whole bill for us with his blood. And we receive in faith the gift that we're no longer on the outs from God because of our sin, that through faith in Jesus, we're now insiders, beloved children, welcomed warmly at his table. And Matthew, having received Jesus' amazing welcome here in chapter 9, then keeps living by faith that he really is inside God's kingdom, even with his shady past. And so from this point on in the gospel, Matthew lives with Jesus and the other disciples, and he receives Jesus' teaching, sees his miracles, and participates in inviting other outsiders inside God's kingdom as well. And then towards the end, Matthew sees Jesus betrayed and arrested, and like the rest of the disciples, Matthew flees. He abandons Jesus at his time of greatest need. But then Matthew encounters the life-changing Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead. And Matthew receives Jesus' forgiveness for this new failing. And he continues sharing the good news that Jesus loves all kinds of messed up outsiders and really has welcomed us through faith in him. And perhaps that's why, as Matthew later writes down the stories here in the Gospel of Matthew that he starts and ends with Jesus' closeness to us, like that Jesus really has welcomed us inside. In chapter 1, Matthew talks about Jesus being Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then Matthew closes his gospel in chapter 28 with the same promise. There, Jesus tells Matthew and us to make disciples, and then promises, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Like Matthew, we were once on the outside, separated from God because of our sin. But then Jesus welcomed us inside, even with all of our flaws and our failings, through faith in him. And so as we prepare our hearts for Easter in this season, let's live daily in the reality that you really are inside God's kingdom, thanks to what Jesus has done. Like Matthew, you really are inside through faith, no matter how anyone else treats you as an outsider at home or work or school or in society. And so our next step this morning is to enjoy being inside with Jesus. That's how we can apply Matthew's story to our lives this week, by every day enjoying being inside with Jesus. That morning, when I was locked out of my house, when Steph came back from dropping off the kids at school, she was surprised to see me in the garage in my underwear. And then she quickly let me back in the house where it was warm and inviting. And it felt good to be back inside, to be welcomed inside. And so let's enjoy that with Jesus every day this week. And as you experience that closeness with our Savior, as Matthew did, let's also look around for others on the outside and share the good news with them, that Jesus wants to welcome them inside too. Amen? All right, let's pray now together. Father, we thank you that you love us in this incredible sort of way, that you would send your one and only precious Son on a rescue mission for us. And we praise you, Jesus, for coming and living the perfect life we should have lived but can't live, living that inner place on our behalf, and then taking the penalty for all of our sins, dying the death and receiving the judgment that we should have received, and then rising from the dead, showing your victory over sin and death so that you could welcome us inside, that you had that kind of joy set before you as you endured the cross, looking towards welcoming all of us inside your family. And so we praise you for that this morning, Jesus. I pray that you would help all of us by the Spirit's work to experience that this week, that we would come to you and we would receive and experience more of your love and of the sense that you really have welcomed us inside. And as we do that, as you fill us up with your fullness, I pray that you would help us to look around and see who we can encourage and see who we can share the good news with, that Jesus, you want to welcome them inside too. And we pray that you would do this in our lives for your glory, Lord. And we pray this all in your great name, Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, but love someone here first if you're in person.